If you've been out of work for some time, and maybe you've been helping out at home, taking care of your family, your children, maybe your elders, and you're considering going back to work, the biggest piece of advice I can give you, hands down, update your resume. Trust me, you owe it to yourself, and it's going to make your job search and the job application process so much smoother. Join me for Reentering the Job World, Update Your Resume. That's going to be episode 193 on Career Growth Made Easy. I was an engineer, and in 2008, lost my job due to the economic collapse. Jobs were scarce. I didn't know where to turn to get help updating my resume. Online services and coaches charge hundreds, even thousands of dollars. I took matters into my own hands and learned how to craft interview-winning resumes. Shortly later, I landed a job with a Fortune 500 company. I have helped many achieve similar success. Now I share my tips to create interview-winning resumes, interviewing excellence, and high-performance growth strategies on my podcast, Career Growth Made Easy. Welcome back to Career Growth Made Easy. I'm your host, Craig Ansell. It's an exciting time as we're now into the new year, a couple months, and I've had some time to work with some recruiters, some hiring managers this year, get some feedback for what's going on kind of with resume trends, but also some of their pet peeves. And I'm looking to share that with you today in a different angled show titled Reentering the Job World, Update Your Resume. Look, before you look to change a channel or turn me down or whatever you're going to do, I promise you today's show, if you're going to look for work or currently are looking for work, is a game changer. I promise. Let me start with this to entice you. Did you know that your resume, the content on your resume, is one of the key areas where human resource professionals, recruiters, hiring managers start to form their opinion about your self-worth, your value? So let's use an example I used recently in a discussion. Let's say there's a job opportunity out there and your typical salary range is $40,000 to $60,000. No, that's not you. Maybe you have more experience and you're in a more professional field and maybe your salary range is $140,000 to $160,000. Regardless of what salary range you're expecting, you're used to, or you're looking for, this show applies to you. Now, having said that, your resume is one of the first places that people in the recruiting field, the hiring field, start to form opinions about you. Potential hiring opinions, better yet, potential interviewing opinions, right? Do you go into the save for future consideration pile or the discard pile? So, if your resume is older, potentially outdated because you've been out of work for quite some time, it's really important to not just check the box and say, yes, Craig, I have a resume. I'm rolling my eyes. Can you see me through your microphone and your earphones? Okay, I get it. A little attempted humor there. I am recommending against checking the box when you have a resume done for a couple reasons. First, when was it last updated? That's the first thing, okay? I would say anything past 6 months or a year, you really have to give it a hard look. Second, what content is on there? Does it relate to your true current state educational background and your true current state work history? If it doesn't, you owe it to yourself to put it down on that resume. Don't worry initially about the format, the structure, the content, whether using phrases, sentences, bullet points, keywords, it doesn't matter. Get it out of your head and onto paper, so to speak. That's really important because as you start to envision what you're doing now, what you used to do if you've been out of work, like I said, considering going back into the job world, you can start to envision the past roles you had, what you did, what you accomplished, the tasks you perform, the job activities. Now, get that out. Get it onto paper. Once that's done and you feel like you've expressed yourself, you feel like you've given everything that you remember doing, that any gaps that you've had from when you were out of work, potentially, like I said, working at home, supporting family, friends, potentially someone that's older, family members or neighbors infected with or affected by COVID, whatever the reason, whatever that gap is on your resume, take some time and think about what you did so you have answers for that gap, okay? Was there any training you did during that time? Was there any volunteering you did? Did you help out again with neighbors, with family, with friends? As long as you can explain yourself with a short, concise answer, that's the best. If it was volunteering, I would recommend that going on the resume to show that gap, okay, that you've covered that gap. Giving back to your community, to society, is a great way to engage in conversation once you've earned an interview. And that potentially on how you gave to back to society, the three T's, the time, talent, the treasure. Maybe you have a unique skill, a unique talent that you do. You play musical instruments. You can sing. You can dance. You can help people with, I don't know, resumes, helping people with some of their shortcomings when it comes to communicating, working in teams environments, working online. If it's something that relates to a potential company that might hire you, you should mention that on your resume. You're always trying to connect the content on your resume with your future or the targeted hiring company's needs. There's going to be, by the way, requirements in order to apply for this role. The focused candidate must have or must maintain or contain these qualities, these characteristics, this education, must possess would be a better word. And then there might be some preferences, some likes, some nice to have. If you have those things, those preferences, pull them out of your history, pull them out of your background, and get them onto your resume. Those keywords will eventually be scanned by automated software tools in most cases, especially with larger companies where they get large influxes of resumes. And those software tools scan to make sure that you're a viable candidate for the role. They will put percentages down. There's going to be a key. There's a keyword that I'm looking for myself, not credibility, but it's a score where they track you and evaluate you based on the relationship you have to the job offer. And those keywords that they've put into the tool will tell the company how well you match up. Okay. And if you're lacking those keywords, you're not likely to get to the next step because you'll be ranked or rated low on the index with regards to how much you match up to the existing job role that's posted. Remember, requirements, recommendations, nice to have, preferences, these are all key things that you can do and place on your resume. What else? I've talked to some recruiters recently and also had the opportunity to speak at Siemens Energy. It was a beautiful experience. I appreciate the opportunity. And there were nearly 100 people in attendance at something that I presented at. And it was with regards to career growth and resumes. And one of the things that I heard from some recruiters this year was that some people place their entire life history on their resumes, literally from the minute that they started education to that day that they applied. And it's just overwhelming. People ask me all the time, Craig, you're a career coach. You work with recruiters and hiring companies, both small and large, you know, Fortune 500. And then last year is working with the Global 500 company. It was very exciting to work with them. What size should my resume be? What length should it be? Well, the reality is if you have limited knowledge and experience coming out of, let's say, middle school, high school, college, something like that, I know they vary, but you're in education at that point in time. You don't necessarily have the job history, the industry history. One page, completely acceptable. As time goes on and you've gained more educational experience and professional experience, career experience, moving to two pages works just fine. If somehow you can condense your two-page history into one, all the better. Less is more. Remember that phrase, less is more. It's one of the key tools I use for resumes as well as during interviews when you provide answers to potential hiring companies. What else? Let's see here. Resumes being too long are an eyesore. They're just not going to get a second look. Recruiters typically do not read resumes at first. They do what is called scanning. And scanning is where they just basically gloss over your resume, top to bottom, left to right in the English language, top to bottom, left to right. Some recruiters have said you have as little as 3 seconds. Think of their finger going from the top of a sheet of paper down to the bottom in 3 seconds. They are not likely to absorb your name or your content. What are they looking for, Craig? They are looking for something that's visually appealing. You're trying to avoid the opposite, which would be an eyesore. Have you framed your resume properly, meaning given a good white space with margins, with borders? Have you put a nice size font on the resume so that the text is not too small to read, not too difficult to read? By the way, putting too small a font, or rather using too small a font on your resume, and or loading up your resume with content is not a good idea. Because you might be trying to say, Craig, I'm going to pack in some information, really show them what I know. I'm going to be the top of that resume pile for interviews. It actually works the exact opposite. Think about printing it out and handing your resume to someone, family, friend, neighbor, colleague, fellow student, you know, if you're in school. Just take a look at this for 3 seconds. I'm going to take it back from you. Tell me what you felt. Tell me what you saw. And ask them for some key content, some key feedback. You don't want to hear, oh, it looked nice, or I liked it. You want to hear key descriptive things. If somebody says to you, wow, it felt really dense, or it felt really heavy, that's key information emotionally, that it was overloaded with too much text. That might mean the font is too small. It was hard to read, if you can get those words literally out of someone scanning your resume for 3, maybe 5 seconds. But then also your borders, right? Your margins. How much or how little did you have? Then how much content did you have before you had line spaces or line returns? White space. White space is your friend when it comes to resumes. So keep that in mind. Also, re-entering the job world implies that you've previously worked. Why is that something that we should address, even though it's obvious? Because you need to limit your information of your job experience and at times your educational experience so that it only is what is on the resume is only applicable to the hiring company's role. You might have other job history, educational history. Maybe you've, in between jobs or while working at home and helping out with the family or neighbors, you might have worked in some trade schools, some other things, some hobbies. Those are all valuable points that you should keep as data points to use and pull out from your treasure chest when it comes to content on your resume. Whatever treasures are in there, pull them out of your chest. I'm going to place this one because I'm applying for a trade school role. I'm going to place this one because I'm applying for a technical role or hands-on, or, hey, I finished this engineering class. This applies to this. So think about how you can pick and choose from what you apply to your resume based on which jobs you're choosing to target. The big thing, though, is even though we may each of us be proud of our resumes, our history, our education, our background, all these things, volunteering, just, you know, the list goes on, after school activities, what have you, we need to limit the content. Remember that less is more. I can't emphasize that enough. Less is more with content. Less is more with a larger font so that the words are spaced adequately. And then that white space. Giving white space is good. Sometimes less text is more. You want someone to be able to physically scan it, like I mentioned, find it attractive to the eye versus the other way, an eyesore, overloading, overwhelming. If it's mentally not appealing to someone, I am telling you, recruiters have said firsthand, you won't get a second look. So space it well. Give yourself good white space, a good font size, but then also structure it well. Structure is really important, and meaning that as you go down the paper, you want to have good section headings. The section headings should be clear, but first of all, they should exist. I have heard recently, in fact, in February, from a recruiter that there were no section headings. There was just continuous content flowing. He said, I had to assume this was your education history or your key traits or your work history. He said, to me, that was disorganized. You're not getting a second look. So I am telling you these things happen, whether it's intentional or not. Maybe it was a version of your resume you saved and forgot to update before sending out. So review it. Then another point of feedback I got, and it was really surprising to hear, but resumes were sent in, and 2 recruiters separately told me, they said, I was really surprised at the poor quality of the resume. And, you know, we all have different educational backgrounds. We both have different, visual understandings of what is creative, what is attractive, what is an eyesore. But we can all agree that spelling checks, grammar checks are critical. And sometimes there are words like this recruiter told me in February. He said, if you're applying for a role as project manager, that's fine. But did you know that manger is also a word? So spell check's not going to find manger versus manager, okay? It's a common typographical error he mentioned to me. And he said, look, you might be great at what you do, and we're just talking about this random candidate, this resume, But if you don't take the time to read your own resume and check for spelling errors and grammatical errors and proper word choice and word placement, just because your resume passes a spell check, anybody can do that, it has to make sense too. He also mentioned there were sometimes resumes handed in with sentences and sometimes multiple sentences, almost paragraphs, describing work. He said, if I were to take the time to read that, you must really entice me to get there, but don't tell me your life story. And if you're going to, tell the story in a way that provides value and entices me to read on. He said there was broken grammar, broken sentences, and poor structure. So I think he was just trying to make a point here about spell check, grammar check, and reading and rereading your resume before submitting if you're applying to a serious role, to a professional role, and expecting to be considered for an interview and a decent pay or a really strong salary range. Those things are absolutely critical. I can't emphasize enough that you could be the absolute best candidate for whatever role you're seeking, from technical to office to professional to service to food industry to engineering to you name it, all the different industries, financial, doesn't matter, IT. But if you don't have a clean resume, if your resume does not signal read on, scan further, from the top to the bottom, you're not getting a second look. Those key words I mentioned are absolutely critical when it comes to applicant tracking systems, the software that scans your resume. You have to make sure you have the right file size, the right format, and only provide, if I did mention this, what is required. Do not go above and beyond is my suggestion to you. Now you can decide on your own what to do with that. Here's an example. If a role you're applying for is talking about attention to detail or attention to detail is critical, something of that nature, and then the description for the job application tells you to include these items and you include less than required, you're going to be discarded. If you include more than, trying to be either cute or maybe I get it, Craig, you're trying to be helpful, right? Well, a recruiter has told me yet again, and this is as recent as February, that they will discard your resume. I have a role that's critical managing a project, critical managing a team, and you must pay attention to detail. Providing less than is needed, gets you kicked out. Providing more that is needed gets you kicked out. Not spell checking, not grammar checking, not having the right content or structure, you get it, okay? So moving back into the world, re-entering into the job world, biggest message to you, update your resume, learn about the current processes, current techniques, and only apply content that is useful to the position you're applying to. Also, don't check the box when it comes to one resume, all right? It's great, and you should be confident and proud that you achieved something by completing a current resume. Thumbs up, double thumbs up. You can't see me here, okay? I'm smiling. You got it. However, when you apply from one role to another, if there is a slight change, it could be at the company's dynamic, the company's environment. They might have a certain type of message. One company is more private and works internally, and one company is more public and works out in the environment in society and likes to volunteer and things of that nature. If you find yourself connected to that, modify your resume, reference some volunteering you've done, some donationary things you've done, some other activities you've done, whether it's at home, you love to recycle and you're proud to be one of the top recyclers in your neighborhood. I mean, heck, I was in Boy Scouts with my son, and we learned a lot about recycling and things like that. This is many, many years ago, but it's always got me to think about nature. And when you go to places, parks, beaches, whatever the case may be, vacation or just on your personal time taking a walk, always try to leave something cleaner than the way you found it, right? Pick up a piece of trash, or next time you crumple up a wrapper from gum, candy, whatever, don't be in a hasty way just to throw it down the ground. Throw it into a garbage can, stuff in your pocket, save it for later. Leave things better than the way, you found them. And so that any of those things, I know it's a bit of a story there, but anything you can do to apply a connection point on your resume to that hiring company and how you're different than any other candidate would be awesome. And finally, you must provide a value on your resume. How do you do that? Do not list job descriptions and do not list tasks. You can talk about your job description and talk about your tasks, but you should do it in value-oriented, value statement ways. How do you do that, Craig? Well, if you're in sales and marketing, for example, talk about the number of sales you've generated. Talk about how many customers you've contacted, what kind of feedback you received. Use dollar figures, use connection numbers, you know, X customers per hour, per week, per month, per year. If you've been top X percent of your sales force or marketing force, list that. If you're into quality control, talk about how many items, how many widgets you've seen or overviewed. What are your quality control numbers? How strong are they? When you took over, your company's quality control was at 78% for widget X. And after recognizing some downfalls in the engineering or the production field, you're able to work with those teams and then raise the quality control numbers for success 3 to 5% per month or 3 to 5% per year to the current point of X, you know, 88%, 92%, whatever the case is. Do a comparison before, during, and after, and where have you contributed? Even in engineering, how many hours have you spent coding? If you're in IT, what systems have you worked on? How many hours or how many servers, how many clients have you worked on? My point being is that regardless of where you work and what you do, working with, you know, human interaction, customer interfacing, or your product or process based and don't really work with a lot of people, you do more task oriented things, you can put quantitative measurements together, you can put numbers together and tell stories. So as long as you can show what you've done and how much you've done, that is something of value that goes on a resume. And here's why. If a company you're looking to grow into a new role and you're envisioning this future company that we're just make-believe company we're thinking of, and you're like, man, Craig, I know I can do this. You know, maybe I'll get some coaching from you, but I know I can do this. I can show them that I'm a bigger, better person, and really I'm ready to grow into the next role, and that's why you're applying. Without numbers, without this quantitative data, they cannot see that. You might feel it. My clients have been there and told me everything that they've done. It was absolutely amazing hearing it verbally, but it didn't show. It didn't reflect on their resumes. That's why working with me or a qualified career coach can really help you. So, backing up a minute, when you get these numbers, these performance statistics, performance data on your resume, now as a hiring company, I can single you out and see you did 97% quality control improvement from 82%. You worked on 289, client-side machines last year with the 92% customer satisfaction rating. If you're in repair, how many jobs did you process? Did you get the repair cycle down to a more efficient rate? How many of your repairs came back? If you're into customer service, customer facing role, how many customers were satisfied with what rating did you receive? Or start asking if they're satisfied and would they recommend you again? Keep a personal log. That's fine too. As long as it benefits your company, you share with your leadership, but it also is about you because you personally asked about their experience. And then in the end, if you've ever worked in quality or sales or returns and you've noticed a problem with something, if you helped contribute to the corrective action to improve the quality, reduce the returns, increase the sales, try to get those metrics. Even if you can't get them, they're guarded secrets, whatever the case is, if you know for a fact what you're stating is an approximate number without, again, exceeding or without stretching or being grand about something, right, by lying something and stretching the facts, you can use that information on your resume. Our quality control numbers were in the high 70% range for passing widgets or for this process because it was a very delicate process and a very unique material set. Working with engineering, the production team, and bringing in a third party, we were able to get the quality control pass rate up to 92%. I used a lot of words there, but the point is anything you've done that contributes to changes, improvements in your organization, or reductions when you're looking at cost or time or schedule, those things are important. If you played a key role in that, put that down on your resume. It will really separate you when moving forward. So try to take the words and thoughts and emotions out of your head, get it on paper as we close this episode, and then wordsmith and tweak. If you do choose, as a bonus point, if you do choose to use bullets on your resume, that's great. Use them sparingly. They're meant to accent and highlight information and limit the words with your bullets. You want to avoid writing long phrases, and you definitely want to avoid long sentences or paragraphs with bullets. Otherwise, there really is no point to using the bullet. When I talk about presenting in person or online, and people use tools such as PowerPoint or other presentation tools, there used to be an old rule, maximum 7 bullets and maximum 7 words per bullet, okay? You don't want to list too much, because then it becomes run-on, the bullets become ineffective, and if you have too many words, what do you do? Oftentimes in presentations, you're reading it to your audience. We want to accent it. We want to give them, boom, information, value, new metrics, quantitative stuff. Let them hunger for more. Read on your resume and leave them with a question. What else can this person do for me? I think this is a potential interview candidate. I know today's show went long. I usually try to keep it around 15, 20 minutes so you have some time during a break or traveling to and from work or to and from school. However, if you liked a little bit longer episode, let me know. I'd love to get your feedback. It's at Craig Ancel, CRAIGANCEL, and this is Career Growth Made Easy with Craig Ancel. Please leave comments as well as likes on your podcast player, and you can always reach out to me on social media or my website and email. God bless. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. Re-entering the job world, update your resume. I can't state that enough. And if you have any questions, reach out. I'll answer a few as I can. God bless. We will talk next week.